This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne, and we are joined every week by the one and only Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. A lot to discuss today. One of the big stories comes out of the New York Times. After a knee injury, be wary when returning to sports. Now, I'm wondering, if you tear your ACL, like let's say Jonte Porter, are his odds of tearing it again higher than someone who has not had an ACL injury?
So the big news, which I don't think is big news, I think everybody's known this, is yes, the chances of re-tearing it are definitely higher, probably about 13% chance of re-tearing it, where your chances of tearing your ACL, you know, if you're fine, are very small. But the bigger issue is if you're rehab, you're doing pretty well, and everything is pretty good, your chance of tearing your other ACL kind of go through the roof. And I think that was kind of the interesting part of the article, is that you go back, you do your rehab, you do everything right, but you have a significant chance of tearing the other knee or the other ACL in your other leg. And the take-home message there are two things. One is you got to get very strong on your affected leg, and you got to get very strong on your non-affected leg. You got to really rehab the stink out of the other leg so you don't go back and just tear either the same ligament, Fabry, Sam Bradford, we can go down the list, Jonte Porter, or tear the ACL on the other knee. So I think, yes, your incidence goes way up.
And if we figured out, I know it's been written and documented that, you know, especially the female basketball players have a high percentage of those ACL tears.
Has soccer, ever, too, yeah.
And so just female sports in general, it seems like with the pitchers, you know they're going to have Tommy John at some point. Female athletes seem to be very likely to have the ACL. Has that ever been explained medically?
So there's a couple reasons. One reason is women tend to have very wider hips and more of what's called an accentuated knee angle. So they have a more knock-kneed than men. And because of their wider hips and that angle, they have an increased incidence of tearing their ACL. And the other thing is they have weaker trunk strength and weaker quads. So when they land, there's more stress dissipated in the knee, less stress dissipated in the muscle because the muscle isn't as big. So what happens is all the stress gets dissipated in the knee and you end up tearing your ACL. So those are two of the reasons. Now, some people think there's a hormonal issue where the ligaments get lax. That's not really ever been proven. But there's no question that when you look at jump strength and landing strength, that they're deficient. So the incidence for women volleyball players, basketball players, soccer players right now is through the roof.
And why is it higher when there is documented facts about this, that it's higher during that certain time of the month too?
Absolutely. So that gets back to what we're just talking about, and that is there's a higher incidence when you're right premenstrual, menstrual, and just postmenstrual, because you know when you're having your menstrual cycle, what happens is your ligaments relax with the idea you're going to have a baby, so your pelvis has to get bigger, so all the ligaments relax. Well, if the ligaments relax in your knee, I mean, it's fine in your pelvis, it's not so good in your knee. So if the ligaments relax in your knee, what ends up happening is your incidence of tearing your ACL, MCL go way up, and it is much higher premenstrual, during your menstrual cycle, and right after your menstrual cycle, based on just ligamentous laxity.
Hey, I got one more. This is from Splashback Deuce. Do the Porters need to eat more meat and get good, hearty protein? Because I believe they are on a vegan diet.
So this has been bantered around. You know, Michael's had his issues, Jonte's had his issues, and there's other Porter members that I can't talk about that are cousins. One of them's in the NBA. I can't talk about them, but I think that is a big issue. And I don't know if it's protein as much. I mean, it's not as meat as much as it's protein and iron. And so there's a real issue, I think, in pro athletes that are vegan, because I think they get protein deficient. Their albumin goes down. and some of their liver enzymes go down because they're not processing. And then they also have iron deficiency. So the answer to your question is I would never recommend a vegan diet for elite runner, pro athlete, high-level athlete, just because you can't generate enough albumin and enough protein. And I think that does affect your overall health.
Dr. Rick Lehman is the founder of the Medical Director, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. You can text in, get free medical advice here. It's non-binding, but free medical advice from Dr. Rick every Tuesday at 855-282-8255. Recent sports injury, and I would consider this minor, but Alex Reyes of the Cardinals broke his left pinky. It's his non-throwing hand. He punched a wall, never advisable. But how important is that left pinky? And I mean, as far as injuries go, this is really minor, isn't it?
Well, he has what's called a boxer's fracture. It is minor on your non-dominant hand. It is painful, so he's going to go through a little bit of, wow, this is uncomfortable. There's no reason you couldn't inject it and let him play. It is going to take about 4 to 6 weeks to get better. Batting is going to be an issue. So they're handling the ball, fielding might be an issue. So you have a little bit of downtime, but generally these things heal 4 to 6 weeks, and I think he should be fine. For everybody out there, when you think you should punch a wall, don't. It's not a good idea.
There's that free medical advice I was telling you about.
Really good, huh?
Don't punch a wall. And a lot of teams have a punching bag. I saw it, I think, in Milwaukee, almost right by the dugout, where if you have a terrible outing or a bad at bat, you can literally go down and punch this bag.
A lot of teams, have punching bags right outside the dugout and then in the training room for that reason. The water cooler, doesn't fare as well. But, yes, that's right. And the truth of the matter is, punch the punching bag. But I can't tell you in a year how many people we have come in pissed off, had a bad outing, threw a bad pitch, hit a terrible golf shot, went in and punched a wall. And, it creates havoc if you're a golfer or some sports. Non-dominant arm on a baseball player is not as bad.
All right, I hope this is not a story that it's going to hit home with me eventually. Adult children are costing parents their retirements.
This is a big problem. I mean, maybe it's not a sports problem, but so basically what's happening is a lot of these millennials, are unable to get jobs. Some of them are moving back home. Some of them have issues. And rather than just, hey, you're on your own, take care of it, parents are digging into their retirement and into their bank accounts. And a lot, high percentage of people are losing not only the retirement money, but savings, general savings, and spending an inordinate amount of money on grown adults. And normally I wouldn't send an article like that, but boy, I think it hits home. And I think it's very important to try and when you're, and again, everyone's got different issues with their kids. We certainly do. Working through getting your kids to be independent, I mean, that's a big factor.
Here's the great debate, because Charlie Marlow, who is around 36-ish, he hates being called a millennial, and he's right on the edge there. But some of these younger kids now, let's say they're in their late 20s and they're not really getting it all together, we always blame that age group, the millennials. Charlie says, what about blaming the parents who allowed it to happen? Because we always say they're babies, they don't want to do anything, they want it handed to them. And Charlie's argument is, well, how did they get that way? So where do you fall on that argument?
Well, I think he's right. I think the parents, what it is, you always want to protect your kids. You want to do whatever you can for your kids. You're out there doing everything you can possibly do. I grew up obviously a long time ago, and my parents were very poor. They couldn't really do anything if they wanted to. So you had to figure it out on your own, and maybe it turns out to be better. But I think the parents have to be more hands off, and it's tough love. And I kind of feel like he's right that we've created a society where all just make a phone call, my parents will take care of it. And I think that that's created this problem. And, you could imagine everything's going pretty good, and all of a sudden your 29-year-old moves back in with you, or worse, with their child and their wife, or with their divorce, situation. I mean, wow, that would be very tough. And we're seeing this more and more and more. And the problem is that these people now are going into the retirement age with no funds, and that's becoming a governmental issue. So it's not just a matter of, hey, we're spending this money. Now you're 65, 70 years old. You spent all this retirement money on your kid, and, you know, maybe he still didn't get it together. Now what are you going to do? And that's the issue.
What did your mom and dad do?
My mom didn't work. My dad was a salesman.
And you grew up in the Miami area, right?
I grew up in Miami in kind of a plighted area. And, you know, I went to a school that was 5,500 kids in my graduating class, split shifts, in an urban area. And it was reverse busing. I got bused into an urban school, and, you know, it was rough.
Is this going to be in the book?
I hope not. I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. It is what it is. You know, it just was what it was. It was a tough, you know, we didn't really have much money, and wasn't, you know, I mean, you figured it out because you didn't have any choice.
And you went to college on a tennis scholarship.
Yeah, I went to college on a tennis scholarship. Otherwise, I couldn't have gone, obviously, and got some scholarship money going to college.
Don't worry, Doc. I want a doctor to know we don't feel sorry for you. In fact, we envy you, and we've been waiting for that plane. Strickland gets a free ride on a private jet to Dallas yesterday, and Frank and I are just thinking, boy, if only Dr. Rick would come through, we'd be on a private jet ourselves. So there is no feeling sorry for you. Maybe a little resentment that we haven't gotten on the jet.
You can't buy tickets. Did you see that? You know, Dallas isn't letting people from St. Louis buy tickets. I mean,
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy.
That was the response. There was a photo. I think Charlie had the picture of Ben Bishop's mom and sisters, and they're all wearing their Stars gear, but they're from St. Louis. And everybody said, well, how did they get tickets if they have a zip code, a St. Louis zip code? I got to say, Dallas, you know, every time there's a playoff series, like, oh, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. And boy, Winnipeg and the noise and the whiteout. Has anybody ever said, oh, you're going to Dallas? That's going to be a tough. Nobody's ever said that in hockey,
yeah.
Have they? Yeah. Right. Like, oh, you're going down to Dallas. Like, eh. Yeah, it's fine.
Good stuff, Dr. Rick. We'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
You guys take care.
All right, Dr. Rick Lehman. Lakeside Roofing reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Also want to tell you about Hollywood Casino. They are the title sponsor of this program, and I'm telling you, Wednesday night, 99 Hops House. It's the place to be. It's an 8:30 start. The beer will be flowing. The appetizers are great. Maybe you go to Final Cut Steakhouse before and have a great steakhouse, great steak dinner. The all-you-can-eat buffet is my personal favorite. People watching, it's just the place to be, Hollywood Casino. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back after this.